Friday marks 5 years since the most powerful earthquake in Japan's recorded history struck off the northern coast of that country. The quake triggered a massive tsunami that swept the coastline with waves more than 100 feet high. That tsunami killed thousands of people and also caused a meltdown at the Fukushima nuclear power plant.
There is a possibility that hydrogen explosion took place. They believe that the container vessel is not damaged. However, with regards to the radiation that might have leaked, they are now checking. And they have confirmed that some workers have been injured and they have called ambulance.
Well, a report there from the Japanese broadcaster NHK from 3 days after the earthquake and tsunami. Joining us now is the BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes. He's in northern Japan where the tsunami hit on March 11th, 2011. Rupert, welcome back.
Hi, Jeremy.
Well, and take us back to that moment, first of all, and remind us how bad this disaster was.
Well, I mean, it's enormous. In terms of Japan, it was the worst disaster to hit Japan since the Second World War. So it struck an area of coast about 250 miles in length, and it destroyed a very large number of towns and villages and even cities. And it left a death toll of close to 20,000 people. I think it was the first time that any of us have actually seen what a really powerful, really huge tsunami looks like. So because so many people here had mobile phones with cameras on it, we all witnessed around the world that incredible sight of that water rushing in and the awesome and terrifying power of a tsunami as it sweeps in and destroys everything in its path.
And what was it exactly about that event that led to the nuclear disaster at Fukushima?
So the wave, when it swept in at Fukushima, it took out the electricity at the plant. It knocked out the electrical power to the plant. And then it also swamped the backup generators. And because of that, they were unable to reconnect cooling power, the water supply that cools the reactors. And although the reactors shut down automatically, as they were supposed to, it meant that in the hours and days after that huge wave hit, the reactor cores started to overheat, and then eventually they started to melt, and we saw a triple meltdown and the worst nuclear accident or incident since Chernobyl. And we're still seeing the consequences of that 5 years on.
Well, yeah, in 2013, you were able to go inside one of the reactor buildings at Fukushima where they were getting ready to extract thousands of fuel rods. Let's listen to a little bit of your reporting.
The reason why they can do this job here in Reactor Building 4 is because the radiation levels in this building are relatively low. But the other three reactors, 1, 2 and 3, the radiation levels are still far too high for people even to go in there. They still don't know how they're going to decommission those three reactors.
Now, Rupert, that was 3 years ago at this point. What are things like now at the plant? How's the cleanup going?
Well, the situation is more stable. They have stable cooling going to the three reactors that were melted down. They sort of have the situation more under control in terms of storing radioactive water that's being used to cool the reactors. But this is a very, very long-term process. And it is going to take, well, it's estimated it's going to take 40 to 50 years to decommission those reactors. And it's pretty much the same as I was saying back then. They still cannot get inside the reactor buildings. They're actually having to design new technology, new robotics that is radiation resistant to get inside the melted reactor buildings, the melted reactor cores, and find out where they are and how they're going to dismantle them. So a very complex, very long-term problem, although the immediate danger from the plant is much smaller than it was a few years ago.
Has Tokyo Electric Power Company, the company that owned the plant, been held accountable in any way in the last 5 years?
Well, it's been paying out an awful lot of money in compensation to the people who've had to leave their homes. Some of these towns around the plant are still evacuated today. Around 98,000 people are still unable to go home in Fukushima Prefecture. So it's having to pay out a lot of money in compensation. As far as criminal responsibility is concerned, we've just heard in the last week or so that three executives at the time of the disaster are going to be charged with criminal negligence. sanctions, and that will be the first prosecutions that have happened since the disaster.
And we've also heard just in the last week or so that another nuclear plant in Japan has had to be shut down because of a court ruling. Tell us about where the industry stands at this point.
So the Japanese government has been trying to get the nuclear industry back up. It wants to have the 50-odd nuclear reactors that Japan has put back on for all sorts of reasons, to stop Japan having to import so much coal and gas, which it has to at the moment, to try and make electricity cheaper for Japanese industry and Japanese consumers. But there is huge resistance. Last year, Japan finally got two reactors, the first two reactors back online. Two more were brought on later in the year, but those are now having to be closed down again because local courts, local people have taken cases to court saying that it's not safe. Some judges are sympathetic, and one has just ordered one of these plants to be shut down again. So it's highly political. It's very controversial. There is deep resistance to nuclear power now in many parts of Japan. But the government itself wants nuclear power back.
We're speaking with the BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes in Japan as we approach the fifth anniversary of the earthquake and tsunami and the Fukushima nuclear disaster. Rupert, how does the rest of the area, not the places that were affected by the nuclear disaster, but just the areas that were affected by the tsunami and the earthquake, how are they doing 5 years on?
Well, of course, that's the story that sort of got forgotten in all the concern about the Fukushima nuclear disaster, is that there is a much larger area of destruction to the north, where I'm actually talking to you from, where far more people were displaced by their homes and where most of the deaths occurred. And 5 years on, still many of them have not been able to go home either. And there is this, it's a really extraordinary sight when you come up here, Jeremy. Some of the towns and cities that were destroyed, I mean, completely flattened by that tsunami, have still not been rebuilt. And what they're doing in some of them is they are raising the whole land by up to 40 or 50 feet, literally moving millions of tons of soil and rock to try and raise the land so that when they do eventually rebuild, it will be above the tsunami line. And I was at a wall they're rebuilding earlier today. 42 feet high, the tsunami wall is being rebuilt. Wow. In one of the towns I went to today.
Well, do they feel in general like they're better prepared if another tsunami were to hit in Japan?
I think there's really mixed feelings about what's going on because people want to go home. They want to carry on with their lives. They don't want their lives to be put on hold for 5 years or more. But at the same time, they want to be safe. And of course, the local governments want to make sure that people are safe. It has been a hugely traumatic experience to lose. Some of these towns lost 10% of their population. So they want to be safe. But at the same time, the massive engineering that is going on seems to be ignoring a lot of the individual stories, the stories of people who are still living in temporary accommodation after 5 years because they're waiting for all this engineering work to be done. So it is a huge problem. But when you come here and see the scale of this engineering, it seems a little bit misplaced because the lives of all the individuals are being forgotten in this process.
How will the anniversary be marked in Japan?
It will be marked in every town and village and city along this coastline, and it will be marked in Tokyo as well by the Emperor and Empress, by the government, by the Prime Minister. Everybody will stop at the moment on Friday afternoon when that huge earthquake, 9.0 earthquake, struck off the coast here. That's the moment that it will be marked. But of course, the tsunamis came in at all sorts of different times. Some towns it hit within 20 or 30 minutes. Some towns that didn't get hit for 2 hours. So it's a very mixed picture, and the tsunami height was very different in different towns. But it will be marked at that moment around 2:40 in the afternoon when that massive earthquake happened.
That's the BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes joining us from northern Japan in the area that was devastated by the earthquake and tsunami and eventually the nuclear disaster at Fukushima 5 years ago this week. Rupert, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeremy.